Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Selena with Say Your Peace Radio Show. Sit back, relax. We want to hear from you. So call in at 347-677-1749 to say your peace. Now, our host, Selena. Well, 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 good evening, everyone out there who is listening. How you doing, Brian? How's everything going, sir?
Doing good, doing good. Everything's mighty fine. Peace to everybody out there.
Yes, indeed. Nice and hot. Nice and hot.
Yeah, I actually got a little relief, though, today in our neck of the woods. Got a little relief.
Yeah.
Overcast.
Yeah, we got a little rain.
Yeah, a little bit of sprinkle rain, just enough to cool it off. But I've had to be out there in it, unfortunately.
Okay, you guys, tonight we're going to hit a little bit on job opportunities for blacks. Does the future look bleak? Is that a good question?
That's a good question. I guess everybody do know that they're tuning in to Say Your Peace. And we definitely we're gonna be taking some callers this hour.
I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
Because you know why.
Tell me.
You know why when we did it the last time before this? Well, you know, when we had the interview.
Yeah, but we just doing one. I say let do one by one and drop them.
Okay, that sounds good. We could do that. I could do that. I don't have a problem with that. Don't have a problem at all.
But we don't need all the over talking to everybody. We want to get some input.
No.
And get some information rolling, and I know you got a lot to give, and we're going to go on and get it rolling. I think that'll be great.
Okay. All right. According to, like I said earlier, we're talking about job opportunities for blacks. Does the future look bleak? According to UC Berkeley Labor Center, the unemployment rate for blacks were 14.4%. This is for the June 2012. Last month, this is according to the latest report on the nation's employment situation released Friday morning by the Bureau of Labor Statistics in its monthly employment situation report. This rate was an increase from May, when unemployment is in the black community stood at 13.6%. For the nation as a whole, unemployment was 8.2% in the month of June. This was unchanged from May, when the national unemployment rate stood at 8.2% among whites. Unemployment was 7.4%. Among Latinos, unemployment was 11%. In comparable May 2012, figures were 7.4% and 11% respectively. Overall, total non-farm payroll employment increased by 80,000 jobs from last month. Now, the big number is 14.4%. Unemployed African Americans.
Wow.
That's for last month. That is terrible.
Real bad.
So, what do you think, even though they only created 80,000 jobs when you got over 1 million people unemployed, and they've been unemployed for the last 2 years, almost 2 to 3 years on average, right?
Right.
So what do you think is the disparity in this? We know about the jobs, but what do you think as African Americans, do you think they've given up looking for jobs?
I don't think that all of them have given up looking for jobs. I think that probably more than likely some have slowed down. You know, if you live in a place like you and I live, Salida, you know, you can almost, I mean, I know it's not totally true, but as far as having an avenue, as far as finding a job, you can almost come to a dead end for an amount of time, correct? You agree?
Yes, that's true.
Unlike Houston or New York or Dallas or, you know, Atlanta, you know, mm-hmm. you probably had unlimited, you know, resources. There's always something out there. Here mm-hmm. and we're not in a little 5,000-town city. We're talking about right at close to, you know, 50,000 people. And if you had the sister city, close to about 67,000. But it's only mm-hmm. so many jobs. And sometimes people get so, not that they don't want to work, it gets so frustrating trying to find a job so that you can just try to survive, you know.
Yeah.
It gets frustrating. So I think the part of it is not that they're not looking, that they think that a lot of times they've exhausted all of their avenues to finding a job. And I mm-hmm. think that's a big difference, you know, stop looking in exhausted avenues.
Well, you know, according to Newt Gingrich, when he spoke in Alabama, I think he was the one who said that we didn't want to work. We were a bunch of lazy so-and-sos, if I'm not mistaken.
So,
that was during their campaigning. Okay.
Right.
Now, do we have an opportunity to change the mindset that we're not a bunch of lazy, good-for-nothing, want to sit up on welfare and food stamps and, you know, have all these babies and all this drama? Do you think that we have an opportunity to change the mindset of how people view us?
The mindset that I would like to change and that I feel we should change is not really one of Newt Gingrich and his crew, so to speak. I personally... And I'm speaking for me. I personally could care less what he thinks or his constituents think. The mindset that we need to change, the mindset of our babies, and not only just our babies, I say our baby, I'm speaking of our children. Not only that mindset of even those, well, they're still our children, those that are older.
Uh-huh.
So we can change that mindset, but the point of it is, Salih, just what you said, we've been saying this all along, you know, we got to, even when the economy was so-called doing good under Clinton, we have to stop looking for jobs. And we have
and
to
start creating
them.
Jobs, yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, some people say, well, I don't know how to do that. It's hard to do. You know, you're talking something that takes money. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know people here. I hear things sometimes, Salita, and I'm listening to these guys. You know, I started off working for this company. Now I own one.
Mm-hmm.
How you work for a company not making much money, then you own it? You know, we scratching our heads like, we got lights, gas, water.
Mm-hmm.
We got, you know, rent, or some cases, some people got mortgage. I don't see why I could pull a business out of that kind of income. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody got some help along the way. Nobody ever talks about the help, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they never talk about the help that they received.
You let them
they
tell it.
They never do that.
Let them tell
it. Yeah, they did it by themselves.
Yeah, they did it by themselves. And they just saved the money up. You know, they're harping on President Obama right now. I hear the whites harping on him. You know, he put us down. He's saying that we didn't build it by ourselves. Well, you didn't.
You didn't.
I mean,
you didn't.
It's not one business, our country, or anybody else that's been built by itself.
Yeah. Just popped up out of nowhere.
I mean, if you look at it, we have to start coming to the mindset of stop letting them brainwash us, first of all.
Yeah.
You know, and when we say brainwash, you know what that means. You know, you got to go to college, get a degree so you get a good job. No, you need to go, if you want to go to college, get a degree to create a job.
Mm-hmm.
Learn economics. Learn business. Learn
yeah.
how to run a business. When you
yeah.
get into, but what we do, we think we're supposed to just get the education and go ask somebody else to feed us. You know, that's like a lion
yeah.
going to ask a tiger to take care of him.
Yeah, yeah.
It just
yeah.
has to stop, you know.
Yeah. We have to learn how to, like you said, be able to fend for ourselves. And I posted today on Facebook, and it kind of, I don't know why, sometimes things go to my mind. And I think I kind of said something like, you're not in charge if you have to answer to someone else. The only way that you're in charge is if it's your own business. I said, start your own future, start your own destiny or something like that. Because it kind of, I don't know where it came from, but it was on my mind that, you know, we want to holler. Yeah, it's all right to be a manager. The white man puts you in charge and you walk around with your chest pushed out, or you're the supervisor, but you fail to realize you still got to answer to him.
Exactly.
When you have your own business, the only person you got to feel that you need to answer to is yourself.
Right.
So there's a big difference being a manager and a supervisor when you really, you're not over nothing, because you still got to answer to somebody else. And guess what? That person's pockets are much fatter than yours.
And, you know, the thing that we should do is, and I know you're not doing this, Leah, we're not putting down being someone's manager. We're not putting down being someone's supervisor under white people. But what I am going to put down is you sitting there trying to make a career of it. You should be trying to learn and get as much experience under your belt so one day you can break off and say, you know what, I'm going on my own. I've had so much time under this business, under this ownership. I now know how to run it with my eyes closed. Guess what? I can run my own.
Yep.
I have the connections. Yep. I have the outlets. I have the know-how. I have the wit. I can do it. I've been doing it for someone else. Why not do it for yourself? We are the number one employers of our own people.
That's right.
So, but guess what? Yeah. If I know we're not talking about this, but it's another show, but we have to push at our own to help our own so that they can continue to employ. People don't know what happened. You know, Salita, think about it. If you hire me at McDonald's, Salita, you got five of us working, right?
Mm-hmm.
So on McDonald's, and let's say we get bombarded with customers.
Yeah, okay.
As your manager, I come to you and say, boss, we can't handle it. It's just too much. Guess what? Boss then going to tell me you got to hire some more people.
Yeah.
So the thing with this, what we don't understand is when we forego our own people and their businesses, then we're hurting ourselves. Because if we don't have any business, we don't need to hire more people. But if we're overrun with people, business is coming in. You force us to hire more people. It's not a want.
Yeah.
It's a force.
Yeah.
And you tend to hire your own people. You can better relate to them for the most cases. So you get mad, white, they won't hire me. Well, they're doing what the natural progression of things is to do. Now, if you're dealing with a public job, that's totally different.
Yeah, because they can't do that.
It's totally different. But a private-owned job, you can get mad. I can get mad and say it's not right, but you go support your own so you can hire your own. And we got to do that to bring our community out of the slump that we're in. We must do it. It's just a must. It's come down to the point now we have to, or else we're going to die. Point blank.
Yeah. And you know what, too? Do we want to? That's the problem is we've gotten so how do you say that? Complacent and wanting more and doing more. I don't see the justification in working a job that's only part-time.
Right.
If you find yourself working part-time for this person, and then to get that other half of the 8 hours, you got to work part-time for somebody else.
Right.
In order to get the whole full 8 hours. I think that's crazy. Now, if you're working it as an extra job on the side for some fun money, that's fine. And you already have an 8-hour job, or I mean, 8-hour day job, that's fine. But don't, I just think that we're so much more than working for someone else. As far as, let me say this, when you're working for the city, state, and the government, it's different because, you know, you have salaries, y'all salaried in, and also you have all those benefits. But when you work for these people that can let you go anytime they want to without justification and ain't got to answer to nobody, they don't have to answer to anybody, those at-will jobs, literally at-will jobs, there's no future in those kind of jobs.
And, you know, just like you mentioned that, you know where we live, Salida. It's a right-to-work state.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a reason to fire anyone.
Yes. You can let them go whenever you want to.
And there's no more. Look, the doggone school teachers now are on edge with that job.
Yeah.
Our no-good governor, Bobby Jindal, has passed through the state a bill now that teachers don't even have tenure anymore.
Yeah.
So these are degreed teachers with years of experience that basically you can be fired at the drop of a dime.
And you know what? Also, we have to look at the fact that unions have a lot to do with the job market, too, because they have cut away the powers of a lot of the unions. They don't have a lot of say-so like they used to. They're trying to revive it and bounce it back in, but they're struggling.
Well, why can't we do what others do, Salida? When it comes to schools, I can only speak in our area. We have one black-owned school in all of the parish, which is the same as the county if you're listening outside of, say, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Only one black-owned. One. Out of the whole parish.
Man.
That's sad.
That's
with all of the money that all of these religious institutions have, all these organizations have, they don't put their money into anything that's progressive collectively.
Yeah.
It takes a
collective.
I don't look for one organization. Well, in some cases, some can do it.
Yeah.
So I'll retract that. But just one, Salida, come on.
Yeah.
One.
But we don't pay attention to that. That's not important. And it's kind of sad. And I think it's people out there that are motivated to try to do more, but they feel like their hands are tied in a lot of situations. So how do we go about helping them to untie their hands and allowing them or to give them an opportunity to change the way they think so that they can step out and do something different? I look at the ideal that there are so many job opportunities out there as far as owning your own business. But you got to remember, some people are not made to own their own business. Some people rather work for somebody else because it's more of a headache to try to start and be your own person opposed to listening to somebody else tell me exactly what to do. I mean, literally tell me exactly what I need to do every day. And if I don't do it, the threat is I will fire you. So, I mean, you got people who like that's been in these jobs for years that enjoy doing that. But if you get laid off that position, now you got to think now, these jobs don't last forever. If it just so happened he wants to pack it up and move it somewhere else and you're unemployed, how long are you going to stay unemployed? Let's talk about the benefits of unemployment. Didn't we have them, they extended them like four times, six times, something like that?
Right.
Over the last couple of years?
Right.
Okay, so when they run out, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you just giving up and just living the best way you can? What? Because you don't hear about the other half. You don't hear about the ones who's given up. You don't see what they're doing to try to survive anymore. You don't see that. And you know what bothers me a lot that I see when they do show it? It's always a white family.
Right.
It's hit us real hard. You know, they don't talk about African-Americans who've been unemployed for more than the two regular years.
No,
okay.
They say we're just lazy.
We're lazy.
Unemployed because
we
don't feel like looking. We just want welfare. That's what they say.
Yeah, exactly. And the ideal that we don't want to work for nobody. Well, I mean, my thing is if you have the skills and intelligence to do better things, and if you can't find a job, turn those skills around. Use them for yourself.
Right.
There's all the thing is, we have to understand, too, there is no excuse for not having your own business. There's no excuse for not doing entrepreneurship. There's no excuse. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just like you said, Slade, I know some people that work for plumbers, carpenters, and painters.
Yeah.
And this is no lie. This gentleman I know, a few of them I know, they work literally every day, totally on no sign, no business card, total working on word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Work, carpenter work, painting, electrical, the thing that they know to do that normally they would have to pay big time for a plumber. They'll come, they get a modest amount. They, you know, they're not doing it for 10 cents. But they, somebody is getting them to work every day. There's one guy particularly does a real good job. When I go try to get him, I almost have to catch him in the evening because he's working every day. Because he's built a reputation of doing good work, and everybody wants him. But guess what?
Okay, but
he used to work for somebody.
Did
you hear me? Work for somebody, but he got his prices to where people can afford him, and he stays busy.
But is he licensed?
No.
See, that's the bad. That's the problem.
He's not licensed. But a handyman doesn't have to be licensed.
I know. But he probably could get more money if he was. He could get more jobs if he was. He could go ahead and do his own business, period, if he was licensed.
Of course he could. And, he, you know, and I've mentioned that several times, but I guess, you know, and I've watched this certain gentleman build total additions onto houses. And, you know, he's as comfortable with what he does, and, you know, he's not poor.
No.
And he does it, I guess, as a handyman, and where I think one time the plumber wanted $1,200, they come in and charge. Plumber said it's really not much, too. They were just charging you a lot of money. It might cost you $250.
Yeah.
The work was done within, what, an hour and a half.
And so, they wanted to charge you $1,200.
Right, right. So, you know, because they're licensed, you know, and they're moving on. But my point is that in working for all these people, he did just what I said. He turned those skills that he achieved by working for people into something he can do for himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And then
he
was able to hire one or two people a certain time to work with him and pay them.
So it
just shows that you can, depending on what you do. You got people that I know people that work on computers. They work out of their homes. They sell computers. They repair computers. And they used to work for somebody else. Once they acquired a skill, they went on their own. They go under the competitor that has the storefront, and when the words are getting around, they stay busy. They have to almost shut their phone down because people are steady calling. So there are things that people can do from mechanic work to like the computers to the plumbing to carpentry. You know, the only thing you couldn't do is practice medicine. You know. Can't cut hair legally. But there's so many things that you can do. You know, Celie, you can braid hair, and you don't have to have a license to braid hair professionally.
I know. Yeah, I know. I used to do it.
Yeah, so you can braid hair in a beauty salon without a license.
Yeah. Yep.
It's so many things that we could do, and we have so many of our people that are talented in that aspect, but they don't pursue anything, and there's good money in it. They don't braid hair cheap.
Well, the thing is, if I have to struggle to make something happen, I'd rather not struggle. I just want it to drop out of the sky and into my hands. See, the problem with us is we get so impatient. You know, okay, I'm going to do this job, but I know I'm going to make $1 million overnight. We have that microwave type of thinking that everything, as soon as you stick it in there, it's going to be hot, it's ready to roll. I can go ahead and do my thing. It takes a lot of skill. It takes a lot of patience. It takes, in order for it to pay off, you got to have patience in order for it to pay off and for it to pay off the way that it needs to. And lots of us are not ready for that. You know, we get discouraged real quick because you don't get the first sale. You have to understand it takes more than that. It takes a lot of footwork. It takes a lot of word of mouth. And if you're, like you said, if you're good at what you do, it ain't going to take you but one person to tell that to or one client to have. And the word will get out there. You know, there's no excuse. My problem is there's with social media, the way it is and the way we can network with other people, there is no excuse in the world that you should not be trying to do something. There's no excuse. There's no excuse for you not trying to get a job and trying to work. You know what I'm saying? There's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you come to your mindset that you don't want to work for somebody else, well, there's classes, free classes that they give in order to start a business. There's classes online that you can look at. You can go to the library. If you don't have a computer at home, go to the library. You got YouTube. I mean, YouTube is phenomenal. I mean, I know it can be overrated to a certain extent, but YouTube is phenomenal to show you how to market yourself, how to get out there, how to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do to get what you need to get. So there's no excuse for not being able to do something. You know,
There's also, Salita, plenty of, like you said, the library. You can go check out books in the library. They have, and if you need to go online and research some of those books, and if the library doesn't have it, you can request those books.
Exactly. Yeah.
You request brand spanking new books, you can request them.
Yeah.
And then when they get them in, you can check them out. So,
I mean,
if that's the fact where I don't have the money, then all your library card is free.
Yeah, sure.
My knowledge is still all free.
Yep.
And it's public dollars that buy those books. And you can request the book. You can look up. You might be something like Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. That's a good book.
Yes.
And that book basically tells how this gentleman's dad was a degreed person. I think he was a professor. He was a professional. But he died a poor man because he had a degree, but he wasn't taught how to handle his money. And his rich dad was actually his buddy's father, who was not a degree person, who didn't finish school, but he died a wealthy man. I think it was almost a millionaire because he knew how to position his money. He knew what business to go into and how to work his money. There's just so many books out there. And sometimes what we need to do is we need to change our arenas. You know, some people say, well, I don't know how to do it. Change your arenas. Get around people that are doing things. Check out what's going on. Even though you may not be interested in a particular subject, just to get some different outlooks and some different people talking, and it gives you a different mindset to what you're used to. You got to change it if you're going to change yourself. You can't just keep doing the same old thing.
Yeah, because you keep doing the same old, expecting a different result. They say that's insanity. So
exactly.
you definitely need to change the way you do things. And I'm not. I want you guys to understand. We're not saying that, you know, it's not good to work for somebody else. I'm really directing this toward people who are unemployed and haven't been working in the last 2 or 3 years and are used to working. We're kind of gearing this toward them. If you don't feel like you can make it, because you know what, I talk to people all the time, and we talk about businesses and being an entrepreneur, and the first thing comes out their mouth, I don't have the money to do it.
Right.
Well, my thing is, you have to start somewhere. You have to sacrifice. If you have a pair, if you have a Louis Vuitton purse, and it's real, and it's empty, that's not equaling out.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? If you're walking around with a $1,000 purse, but you don't have $1,000 in it, and you don't have $1,000 in your bank account, that's something wrong with that picture.
That's like driving a Mercedes and don't have a carport to drive it up under.
Yeah, to put it under. So I'm just kind of just letting you guys know that create your own job. You know, they doing job creation. Okay, create your own job. There's all kinds of jobs. There's all kinds of grants. There's all kinds of resources that you can use to get. Like right now, as you know, green jobs are a big, big thing now, okay? Solar energy, any way we can save on gas. I mean, all of this is out there, so it's really no excuse why we are not making our own way, starting out our own our towns. Look at your town. If you get in a town where there's not a lot of stores, go ask somebody how to get a community together and let it be a community store. Put together a community store. There's all kinds of websites that actually sell you wholesale stuff. So there's no excuse for you not to be able to do retail. You get somebody who knows how to mess with money. You don't get no crook. You get somebody that you know you can trust to mess with the money and let them be the CPA. All you have to do is turn everything into them, let them, you know, distribute the money, let them do what they have to do. But it's a community effort. Everybody's coming together. Well, you have your own employees. You have to have supervisors or managers or what do you want to call it. Get your grocery stores. We can run grocery stores. We can run, and you know what? In other communities, in other states, guess what? They do that. And guess who mainly heads it off? The churches do. So I can't see the excuse of not working unless you're just naturally lazy and you don't want to work. You don't want to do nothing. You want to always be a hustler. You always want to have short. Everything comes quick and fast and it's gone.
I talked to a gentleman about 2.5 months ago, and we were doing some work on some property. He stopped and he said, look, that truck, old beat up truck, he pulled up in. He said, how you doing today? I said, I'm doing fine. How are you? He said, oh, I'm coming to see if you got any old metal. He said, this is what I do. I said, so what do you do? He said, well, I pick up old scrap metal people are going to throw away. He said, and I go and I sell it. And I turn in, I make a, you know, make a living. This is how I take care of my family. I've been doing it for the last 8 years. He said, I have a wife and 3 children. My wife works, and this is what I do full time.
Man.
And the man, and you know, he said, you know, my old truck, I keep it up. It don't look like nothing, but the motor's top notch. And just what happened, I had a refrigerator in the back. We had some other metal, you know, some things he used, and he got everything he wanted. He loaded it up, and then he took that, and I guess he and then brought to mind, because I just saw him a couple of days ago. He didn't see me; he was passing by. Truck loaded down.
Mm-hmm.
With junk. One man's junk is another man's treasure.
Yep.
And he's making a profit from it. This man is helping to raise his family dealing junk.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean he has to stay dealing junk. He can eventually evolve from that to something else if he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People can take their hobbies and turn them into money makers.
Oh, yes.
I know some people that has enjoyed washing cars.
Mm-hmm.
Start washing cars. Well, I don't have the money for a place. They were washing cars on people's job sites.
It's called detailing, not washing cars.
Were washing them. They actually didn't detail the car, but they were washing cars. You know, detail they did outside job. Now, they might have gotten a detail later on. Because detailing is detailing. When you're going inside, you're doing all of the nicks and crannies. But this was basically a basic wash job. The outside.
Mm-hmm.
On all in the tires, you know, and moving on, you know, and then as they built up, then they got them a little spot, you know. So my point is that, you know, they started from somewhere, started from scratch,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, and it moved up from there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bought them a trailer, got them a pressure sprayer with a little generator where they could do everything from their vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
It was innovative, but the whole part of it is that they were making something for themselves, not waiting on somebody or somebody come up with something for them to try. There are
mm-hmm.
also all kind of business opportunities out there for money to be made. But people have to have it in their mind, I'm going to do different from what I'm doing. It's not working this way, and what I got to do is I got to look at something different. Well, I'm not used to doing that. Well, it's time you start learning how to do something different. That's what I say.
It's not
what you know how to do. Then let's look at something different.
Yeah. All right.
Sometimes you can just, you know, change it slightly. You're doing the same premise of the business you used to, but you're just maybe changing the players in the game, so to speak, you know, changing the items. But the whole concept of what you were doing is what you used to do in the first place, just changing, you know, what you're dealing with. You know, it's just so many ways, but we have to kind of open our minds up, because if we don't, we're going to die. I'm just point blank saying, well, I mean, when I mean die, I mean we're going to fall by the wayside financially, because we won't be able to survive.
Exactly. Now, believe it or not, there is a percentage of us, and I mean, statistics can be played with, be honest with you. You can funnel around with statistics. But there are people, don't get us wrong, there are people who are prospering. and that are doing very well with their businesses. Not all of us are suffering. I get the Black Enterprise magazine, if you guys know what that is, and they feature a lot of businesses in the midst of all this that's going on. That's literally, they are blooming. They're doing very good. Business is good for them. That's not everybody. You see what I'm saying? That's just some people, but it is actually in place, and they've even been able to create jobs for other people, doing, you know, with their own business. So there are some good sides to this, but there are still that bad side, and the bad side is that we have a large number of unemployed African Americans, both male and female. Now, that ties into incarceration. When you think your future looks bleak and that you can't get a job, and no matter what, you know you got to feed a family, you know you got to make ends meet, and you have no other way. I'm not making excuses. I'm not telling you it's all right, but you find other ways to make the money that are illegal, and then you get caught, and then now you're locked up. You can't even help your family anymore because now they got to help you, even though they don't have the money to help you.
All right.
So when you take, say you do your time, you come out, then you're struggling again. Because guess what? You still can't find a job. And it's worse now because you've done something wrong that's going to follow you for the rest of your life. So I don't want to say it's like we can't get out of this, but we can by making choices that are going to benefit instead of hinder.
We have to change our mindset.
Yeah, yeah. Making dangerous, desperate decisions, because that's what we're doing. We're making dangerous and desperate decisions on the way we need to live and how we're going to take care of our families. Now,
what we do, Salita, we got to remember it's more than just us. It's bigger than just us immediately right now.
Exactly.
We have our children that are watching.
Yep.
We have our children that are seeing. So if our child watches us just sit back and do nothing, I'm telling you folks, don't, percentage-wise, you're always dealing percentages. Majority of those children are going to mimic what they see.
See, exactly. Yep.
We'll have some who will go on and do their own thing, just like you could be the nicest person, the best person out in the world. You got somebody going to do their thing and be the worst. But majority of those who see a nice personality, a smart person, and somebody do good are going to follow good. The same thing happens when it comes to employment, creating jobs. If I saw mama and daddy creating a job or trying to do for self, it's going to embed within me to do the same thing. You know, I always instilled in my children, do something for yourself. Do something for yourself. That doesn't mean, and the thing, but you got to do it smart. That doesn't mean you can't get a job. That means that, like I said before, once you get that job, don't have in your mind, I have arrived. My ultimate goal is to do this for myself. And this job is just a stepping stone to get to where I want to be so that I can be financially free. To be financially free, there's nothing bad with that. As long as you do good with what you have.
Exactly, exactly. So you're saying this, I'm playing a devil advocate. So what about my retirement?
Retirement is the same thing. We just have to be smart about retirement. We have to take a retirement and look at, say, now what kind of retirement did I have on my job? Now, on mediocre jobs, we say mediocre job, I mean those that's not paying a whole lot. The only retirement a person basically has is a Social Security.
Yeah.
How many people have actually looked into their jobs to see what their retirement is actually paying? So in that case, you can actually, you got, it's called discipline. You go into your job and you got to set up some kind of retirement for yourself, or your business rather. And that, that retirement don't necessarily have to just be cash money.
Yeah.
It could be an asset. Assets that can pay dividends. You know, he's like, well, what kind of asset besides investing money in something that may collapse can pay dividends? You may look at buying a piece of rental property.
Hold on, we have somebody on the line. Fine.
Okay.
Let me see who this is. Hello, how are you? Welcome to the show. Hello?
Did they make it on?
Hello? No. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Great show, great show. I'm listening to your show. My name is Stanley. How are you?
All right.
Doing good.
Yes, yes. The problem I have with the job thing, and I think I said it on the chat room, jobs make me think like just over broke. We're depending of people. You're depending on another human being to make your life. That's where I have a problem. I used to be an employee. I'm not anymore. I have my own business. Uh-huh. I'm a consultant for different companies in IT. And I think we need to go back to tell people you need to create a job. You need to get your degree, do something with it. Create anything that you need, especially now we have the internet, especially now where internet is basically allowing ordinary people to have great power. There's a lot of things to the internet that you couldn't before, and you needed to do it the business way. Now with the internet, you could go national. You could do your international. You could open a business on anything that you want, but you got to work hard, and you got to know what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. Thank you for that.
That's definitely, I mean, the caller is definitely correct on that. We didn't even speak about that, but the internet has so many avenues.
Yeah, awesome. Brian, let me get this other person in real quick, okay?
Go ahead.
Hello, welcome to the show. Hello? Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Okay. Brian, you there?
Yeah, the goblins are tonight, I guess.
Okay. Okay. Let me see.
Oh, the gremlins. Meant the gremlins.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I love that. You know, well, I mentioned social networking, which is in your social media. So you're right. There is no excuse, caller. You're right. You're so right. There's no excuse for us to not have something coming in some kind of way. A hustle is a hustle. I think when I say hustling, I'm saying a legal hustle. I ain't talking about sitting on the street corner and selling something. I'm talking about hustling, making stuff happen, taking what you can. I take hobbies that I do. I love sewing. I did sewing. I started sewing pillows out of nowhere. It made plenty of money. I just got tired because I was doing it by myself. I was not smart enough to hire people to help me. So I wound up doing it by myself, and I got burnt out. But that's just one thing, and that was a challenge to myself to see if I could do it. I did it. So I moved on to the next project. So you're right. There's no excuse. There's no excuse whatsoever for us not to be to have some kind of skill that we can use, some kind of hobby, some kind of craft that we can use to make money off of. I don't know if you guys remember a story a long time ago. It was an African-American family, and they were really down on the luck. The father had lost his job. The mother had lost her job. She started making cookies. And what she did was she carried the cookies around in her trunk, and she sold them on the street. Her cookies became so famous that she was able to open up and start buying equipment to make her cookies in a bakery. So then she opened up her bakery shop. So I just can't see people saying that you can't make it. I don't understand that.
Khalil, I can give an example.
Go ahead.
I always like to try to instill, and I go back to our children. Not only do we have to do it for ourselves, because we need to do it, but we need to leave something our children can hold on to and bring in the future. I'll tell you something that not a big thing, but it's a start. Always instilling my children this. I have my youngest son with me, and I hold him pretty tight with me. And we had a dog at home, and we bred the dog. And he likes money, like most kids do, teaching how to save his money. And I decided, we went out, I said, you know what? He has the, his responsibility to help take care of the dogs. I oversee it, but he takes care of them, feed them, do whatever we have to do with them, help bathe them, whatever we have to do with them. Well, the dog had pups. I said, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to go sell the pups. Well, we sit there. We went out on the street. I guess it was about 3 or 4 hours. Well, mm-hmm. we said, we're going to leave at 7 o'clock. We didn't exactly leave. We said we waited around. And, boy, mm-hmm. when he finally sold one, mm-hmm. you know, he was so it made him so happy because he was able to put mm-hmm. some money in his pocket. And he said, you know what, Dad, it's not too hard here, you know. We just fed him and raised him and treated him right, bought stuff for him, and spent a little
and
time.
Proud.
It's like easy money. So what it's teaching him is teaching him how to be an entrepreneur, not just on that, mm-hmm. but it's how you do other things. You can also have other mm-hmm. things that you can sell and retail to the public that the public is looking for. You just have to make it available to them.
Exactly. Just 1 second. Let me see if this person is still here. Hello? Welcome to the show. Oh, I guess they're gone. Okay.
But we just have to learn that there's so many things that people are taking used items selling it. They're taking items that they can buy in bulk and selling it.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that's buying it gets it for a cheaper price, person selling it, making a profit off of it. Everybody's happy. We just have to be creative. Just like you said about the lady making the cookies. There are so many things that you could do that you do good. If you start off with that one little thing, you would be so amazed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Get from people. But you have to have that mindset that, yeah, I can do this. Just like I take the time. I was talking to my children the other day, and they were watching television. And they said, be quiet. We can't hear. And I thought, those people on that TV are all stars, making big bucks.
Yeah, making big bucks.
Stars. What you need to be concentrating on is how you can make yourself better so that you could move forward in life, so that you could do the things that they do and pass that on to your future generation. You know, but we have to be in the forefront, else we're going to be the same old doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I say there's no excuse, and especially now, back in the day now, you got to think back in the day, we didn't have the resources we have now. You know, people didn't know what they know now. So now that we have the opportunity, I can't see the excuse. What is the excuse of not getting off your butt and making stuff happen for yourself? You're not going to make $1 million overnight, no matter what no one says. That quick, get rich quick crap does not work. And I'm saying it like it is. It don't work. You need to know what you're doing. You need to hone on the skills that you know you're going to make money off of, because everything you're not going to make money off of. You have to know what you need to know what people are looking for that they can't get nowhere else. That calls for you to do a lot of research. That's why we keep telling you, if you don't have a computer at home, go to your public library. That's what the public libraries are for, to be a good resource for you. Go and look up different things that you want to do. See, learn how to do it. So that when you get out there, you don't have no problem. You can do this. You can make whatever it is that you want. You can sew whatever you want to sew. You can you can sell anything you want to sell. There's no excuse. If you grow vegetables, go sit up by the side of the road and sell vegetables. People love vegetables. That's a healthy thing.
Right.
You know?
And
you don't have to have no big garden. You can have a small garden. If they come out good and fresh, sell them. But now I know it's hard. Times are hard. The markets are hard. People are taking that, and actually they're feeding their families with it now, too, because they can't afford to go into the grocery store and shop and get what they really need because they can't afford it anymore. So, I mean, you can't give me no excuse to tell me that you can't make it. I can't put that in my head.
And so, Lita, some things that can be done with the unemployment the way that it is mm-hmm. when you can't find the resources to do something you need to do, some of us have enough skill or we have merchandise, we can do bartering.
Yeah, barter. That's right.
A lot of people do it.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I mean, like, if people that don't sell their vegetables, they use it. guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Something they didn't have to purchase.
Yeah.
So it's still income.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
If I have something that I traded to you for something else that you have, that's an item I don't have to go purchase. It's still something
exactly.
coming in. So we have to just get creative in the mind. Because if we don't get creative in the mind, then we're going to end up being stagnant and lose in the end.
Yeah, yeah.
All
and
of
when
that,
you,
to me, is entrepreneurship.
Yes, it all belongs to entrepreneurship. That's right. And you got to know how to do it, and you got to be around people that do that. Get with another entrepreneur. Ask them how they do things.
They have so many reality shows on now, they'll show it to you on TV.
Yeah. Well, matter of fact, on I think it's Sunday mornings, I think it's on Channel 60 MSNBC, they have what they call a small business. And they literally show you how to start your own business. They show you they feature different businesses that started small and get big. They allow you to do an elevator speech. And if the company, the people that they pick that are department heads from other companies that own their own companies, if they like it, they'll pick up your product and start trying to sell your product for you or, you know, get contracts with them. So there's no excuse. Now, another thing, and I found, and this is here in Louisiana, we're talking Louisiana, there was a bill passed called the HB 937, if I'm not mistaken, that's the name of the bill. And I think I told you about this bill. It was saying that if you have been convicted of a felony and you are a contractor, you are not allowed to be part of any public bid for any public work, period. Now, that was passed in legislature. So, because I'm a convicted felon, I got three strikes against me. Okay, majority of the convicted felons are African Americans. That's one strike. I'm a male. That's two strikes. Third strike is I'm totally out of a job because nobody's going to hire me simply because I'm a convicted felon.
Right.
You've gone through the classes. You've taken the classes. You've got your license. But guess what? We can't use you because you're a convicted felon. Now, that's a blow to anybody's ego. That's a blow to anybody's self-esteem when they're trying to make it. When they're coming out, they've been redeemed. They've done what they had to do, but they want to come out and they want to work.
Do you think that's by design?
I think it's by design. I think it's by design. It's called consumer protection. That's what it's called. Protecting the consumer that no one gets over on them. Okay? That's what it's called.
Just the ones that's always been getting over in the first place that's doing it legally.
Exactly. The ones that's always getting over anyway.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's exactly right.
So what we need to do, we should have more of, I think, in the communities of organizations such as business groups, even churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Pushing and encouraging entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
And I think there's a lack of that. And that doesn't mean there's not something going on. I just lack of, not enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in, I would say, these smaller, I hear about things like that in New York, California, larger cities.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the cities such as where we live, the smaller cities, where certain people are, seem like they're scared to say things, step on someone else's toes, be accepted by the white established business community. So we don't want to be labeled a hater because we're pushing black business when everybody else always push but black business. We need to push more for entrepreneurship in our community through our organization. And they need to put the money where their mouth is.
Yeah. Well, you think about, you know what amazes me too? You think about all these different organizations, these Sigma, Beta, Phi, Psi, with all that. I don't know what you call them. I'm not into all that. But those type of organizations, these college grads that have all this, and I know they do a lot for the community. I'm not taking away from that. But do you sit down and mentor these kids to tell them you don't have to grow up and go to college and wind up working for somebody else, that you could work for yourself? Are we teaching them? Are we doing those kind of classes with our young men and women?
No, we're teaching our kids to go
how
to
grow up,
get a good job. That's what we teach.
Get jobs for somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought. And we need to a certain extent, we need to stop it. Really,
right.
To be honest with you, we need to stop it. We need to find another way to get it out there that you can work for your own self. And see, back in the day, now you think about ancestors as far as tribes in Africa and place. That's what they did.
That's what
they
did. They
had their own businesses. They sold vegetables. They sold clothing. They sold material, fabric, you know, the beautiful colored fabrics. They all did that. They didn't have the jewelry.
No.
They had their own, you know, everything, they jewelry, all that stuff they grew themselves or they made themselves, and they sold them. And there wasn't no stores to go to. They were called merchants, and they did what they had to do. So that's why I'm saying, why can't we go back to doing that? The fresh markets, the vegetable stands, and selling your clothes, whatever, you know. I think there's no excuse for that, you know, that we can't make it on our own in a time of recession, or what they call, quote-unquote, recession. I think a lot of this is being hyped up by the media that everything is so bad and so, you know, nobody can't do anything. You know, I look at Detroit. Detroit is a beautiful city. But Detroit is dwindled down to nothing. People are trying to get away from Detroit. How can you take a whole city and people literally leaving it because of no jobs? And you got to understand, it was a manufacturing type city. So if you're a manufacturing type, you take those manufacturing, that's what those families were living off of, okay? And whenever the manufacturers was making money, all the other merchants and all the other stores were making money. So it was a trickle-down effect that really hurt a lot of people when they pulled out the plants, when they start taking the money or closing them down. So, you know, I think then we should have come up with another. But those people were so, you know, their lives were indwelled in working for those plants day in and day out. That was their livelihood. And when you get it snatched up, you're not prepared to do anything else.
Right.
You're really not prepared to do anything else but to do that, you know, to do what. And we don't take time out to learn anything else, you know. Now, some of them were very smart because you had some that bought property, you know, didn't. The other ones that were not too materialistic, they did other things with their money, send their kids to college, you know, or put away some money for a rainy day, or, like I said, bought some property or did something. Some of them did that, and they didn't come out as bad. But a lot of them, the ones who got hurt is the ones who were being the ones who sold stuff to the different plants. I mean, the people who worked in the plants, our stores, you know, our small outlets and stuff. Those are the ones who hurt, the grocery stores. You know, you can go in and spend $800 almost on groceries because you're making that kind of money. It's different now. But I just don't see that there's no... The clouds are still hanging there. I think now we need to pull ourselves out those clouds and stand up straight and make stuff happen. A lot of people can't afford to move away from that area to go to a better job opportunity. You know, you got people who have to leave their families, you know, to go and look for a job, to stand in these lines at these job fairs. You know, I'm sorry. While you stand in line in that job fair, you could have created your own job.
So true.
You know, you got the older, and then you have the older generation, not really old, but when you turn 40 and 50 and 60 years old and you've been in this job and you close to your retirement, the job lays you off and they take everything with them when they go, it's hard for you to get. You have plenty of time to learn something in the midst of all of that. Plenty of time.
You know,
so
Kalita. Yeah, we were talking about the internet earlier.
Mm-hmm.
People all over the United States, the world, have somewhere, most places, have some kind of access to the internet. And people are picking items that they may buy wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who may not know what that is, that's buying multiple items for one price.
Yeah.
And by the time you divide the item up, you paying pennies on a dollar for the items.
Exactly.
May have some items in your home, a garage, or something that you hadn't used for years.
Mm-hmm.
That you know somebody's using, but you just didn't need it or didn't want to use it.
Mm-hmm.
They have sites you can go on the internet, all over the internet. I can't call all of them, but I think such as, and I don't want to give certain plugs, but just call out because I can think of eBay. You can go
mm-hmm.
on and sell your items. They have free classifiers online that
yeah.
you can go and put items on to sell. It don't cost
yep.
you a dime
yeah.
to sell them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
yep,
opportunities
right.
to do a lot of things. We just have to make it our mind that the time I got to be willing to put in the time
mm-hmm.
to push myself to do for myself just like I would if I had a boss. I'm willing
yeah.
to put in the time. And just like he's going to pay me that check, I could pay myself a check and probably more. We
yeah.
just have to be smart enough and disciplined enough not to blow the money. Sometimes people
yeah.
get paid every day, and every time they have a dollar in their pocket, they got to run and go spend it.
Yep.
But stop
yep.
running and go spend it and start banking it, and it'd be just
mm-hmm.
like you're receiving that paycheck, but you're doing it for yourself.
Exactly.
We got to be thinking in that mind era, or else we're going to be back to where we always are with nothing.
Yeah, yeah. So before we even go to the point of the jobs, maybe we should start doing life skills first, teaching people how to budget their money. If I get a check for $350 and I got to make that last to the next check for $350, which is not much, how do I budget my money to make sure, and then pay myself, because they encourage you to pay yourself first. How am I going to be able to make sure that the lights, gas, and everything is paid for, you know, especially when you have children? And that's why, and this goes along with this, and I know we don't have any control over who has what, you know, how many kids. But these are the things we need to think about when we decide to have a family. I think, and this is just me, I think we should think prior to the ideal of being married or prior to even dating someone, if I'm going to have children, am I going to be able to afford that child? Because I think children suffer so much more than the parents do to a certain extent, because they have to go through struggling. Their nutrition is very important, just like the grown-ups' nutrition is very important. But the children, when they sit in school, they need that total concentration, and they're not getting that. That's the crazy part about it. They're not getting it. They're not getting that nutrition they need because, guess what, mom and dad are not working, and they can't do this and they can't do that for themselves. So we have to look at that when we decide to have children. Okay, they're here now. We got to deal with it. But I think there was an opportunity when you could have waited. If you knew you were coming up, or you knew things were rough from the get-go anyway, why would you go and have children? You know what I'm saying? Why would you bring a child in the midst of all of this? You know?
I think that...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that in the arena of children, is that our biggest downfall is not necessarily just the children, so to speak, but it goes back to school. It goes back
mm-hmm.
to education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are ways to make do and make do smart and not to have to shortcut your children if you have the know-how to raise them.
Yes.
But we have, and I go back to my grandmother who was not, and my grandfather, who was not rich, matter of fact, were real poor.
Mm-hmm.
We had 12 children.
Mm-hmm.
And still she found ways not only to feed her own kids, but she would feed any neighborhood kid in the street
mm-hmm.
that was hungry, neighbors that were
mm-hmm.
hungry. So
mm-hmm.
it goes back to I've seen poor people do over and above for their own children and others.
Mm-hmm.
It's just if we don't have the know-how, we can have, we're supposed to procreate. We're supposed to populate the world. But what happens is we've gotten so dependent on other people to provide everything for us.
For us,
we don't provide anything for ourselves.
Yeah.
So,
we don't know how. We're
and
not
so
interested.
It comes to what you were saying. We need to think about it before we do it. But part of the thinking is we need to learn how to do it right. Because think about it. The system doesn't teach us how to budget. I went to school. You went to school. I don't know. They never taught me how to budget. I was taught how to write a check.
Mm-hmm.
Never taught about saving.
Mm-hmm.
That had to come through parental guidance. You say, well, it should, but, you know, but when you're getting a proper education, parental guidance should just be a reinforcement. You should be taught in school these things. That's what school is for. It should be common sense stuff, then everything else should come later. Common sense is what's going to make you survive. But it's not taught. So when it's not taught, and then you get no reinforcement because those younger parents don't even know it's been not taught, so they don't know to teach it, then that's where the cycle comes in at. It's a, you know, you get that that cycle that keeps rolling and rolling and rolling, and then it's never being taught. But we got to start teaching. And when first thing I said, we don't know, you hit it on the head. We got so much access to this internet, we got to start studying it.
Yeah.
We got to start studying it. There's so much information out there on like things like YouTube and all these other things. Even stuff where you don't know what they are, you can look it up and get information on it.
Yeah.
You got to open your mind. The people you would normally listen to, speakers. We have so many good intellectual speakers, motivational speakers. And you have some good intellectuals, speakers, both black and white. You got to start listening what some things these guys are doing and saying and how they're making their money, what they started off with, and you got to take some of these ideas and you got to move on it. You can't just sit there and say, well, that's good, and get emotional about it. It's taking it, making it practical.
That's true. But you know what and you said something earlier. I think budgeting and managing your money should start at home, and the school should reinforce it. I don't think a school should teach you that. I think that should come from home, because if mom and dad know how to manage their money, they're going to want their children to know how to manage money too.
Right.
So they're going to sit down with the checkbook. They're going to sit down with the accounts. Not just bring out all the money, but literally tell them how to manage their money from get-go. When you give your child allowance, do you teach them how to budget? Do you?
When you say when you do what? No, I'm sorry.
When you give your, when your son makes his allowance or makes his little money, do you teach him how to budget it? Do you tell him to give himself 10%?
No. I tell to give yourself 90%. And the reason I do that is to say, you know, now is the time where you can hold back everything that you can because you don't have any bills. You live with mommy and daddy. The most thing you can do with your money is blow it. So you need to save 9 and blow 10. And I don't give allowances at my house. I don't believe in allowances. I believe in you get money for what you earn, and you don't earn money in my house for cutting grass because you live there. When we work outside of the home, that's where you get your money. And if we don't work outside the home, guess what? You don't get any money. So when you do your work that we do outside of the home, you get paid. Now, and I push, put your money in the bank. I mean, if I can, I push 100% in the bank. Because my point is you have nothing to spend money on besides junk or things that you don't have to have, because things that, and it's just me, because some parents have a different, they give their kids allowances, and that's what their kids purchase, what I purchase for my children. And I really sometimes feel bad if they buy something, say, oh, I got you something, but my thing is, no, put your money up. Bank your money. Now that you want to do something, now you have some money to do it with. You're not pulling in the sky wishing you had and wondering what you can do with your money. Because once you become an adult, this is what you're going to be up against. And so when I pay bills, they're there with me. When we're buying in the store, they see what kind of money being spent. They see when you have to pay, okay, well, we don't need this today. We're going to wait till tomorrow. All those things, if they're not that practically seeing you do it and watching how you, you know, Salida, you know some children don't even know how to purchase chicken?
Yeah.
Not just children, adults. I was talking to a man the other day, oh, y'all can get legs for $5 a package. I said, well, how much is it a pound? Well, I don't know. I just buy the package. What? That's not how you purchase it, but it's never been taught.
Mm-hmm.
Never been taught, not knowing you can save money by learning how to purchase it per pound. Learning, there's so many things. So what that got to do with a job? What it has to do is conserving your money that you're making, and it's entrepreneurship. It's teaching how to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're teaching how to purchase that, you then learn when you go in to purchase something else, you're steady learning. Well, how do you learn that? You got to open yourself to new arenas. You got to.
Yeah. And we don't, not all of us, I'm not going to say all of us don't do it, but there's a lot of us, and we're followers. We're big, big advocates of following someone else. We're afraid to step out of our comfort zone and be a little different.
Right.
We're afraid of that. And that's another way of holding yourself back. That's a stumbling block, you know. That's a stumbling block. And if people don't want to see you become something other than working at the job, you know, then, you know, you have to deal with that too. But you have to know that there's other things that you can do other than, you know, working for somebody else. And I truly believe that. And even when I was in the military, let me tell you what I did. I was getting a paycheck every month. I would go to Roman Sales because I love going to Roman Sales. And I would buy stuff, me and my son. And we would go sit up. We were stationed at Fort Campbell at the time, and down the street they had an area where they did a flea market. On Saturday mornings, we would get up for $2 for a table. And all that stuff that I went and bought, we would resell it. That was gas money, and that was his money, because all the toys he would buy, he would resell the toys at the flea market.
That's entrepreneurship.
That's entrepreneurship. So I've always been doing something like that. Whether I had a full-time job or not, I always tried to find a way of making money.
You know,
I mean,
some
it's
people,
not about – go ahead.
No. Some people would say with a small mentality, are you ripping people off? You're not ripping anybody off. That's called business.
Yeah.
You buy for a certain price. You sell at a higher price, and the price between what you purchase and what you sell is called profit.
Yep, that's profit. Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, you're right on it.
Mhm.
You found a niche where you could purchase things and resell them.
Yep.
That's the same thing that happens in the stores. They buy at a lower price.
Yeah.
Sell us at a higher price, and the difference between the two is profit.
Yep, it's profit. That's
so,
money you well, you think about Goodwill Salvation Army, you know, and I have issues with that. And this is still on the job because they actually give jobs to people who usually can't get jobs. They do give them a job. But my thing is we donate stuff to them day and night. What do? They resell them.
They get it for free
and resell it. You can do the same thing.
Right.
You can get people to donate stuff to you, and you can set up your own little rummage sale and resell it. I had my own little store, miniature store, in a flea market inside a building. Every other week or every week, I didn't even have to maintain it. Whatever was bought, I got paid for it. And it was my little store, and I'd go and resupply, redecorate, do my little thing, and go pick up my check. So, I mean, and I was working full time at a good job, but that was just something I wanted to do because my blood of entrepreneurship, it won't go nowhere. It's still there. No matter what I'm doing, I'm still doing something on the side. I'm always doing something on the side. I don't care. And it's not about being greedy and wanting this. It's just how I am. That's just what I like to do. Because if things do get hard, guess what? If times do get hard for me, guaranteed you, and I always say this, I'm a jack of all trades and I master none, but guaranteed you I can sell something.
That's right.
I don't have no problem with selling something.
And we have,
and
to,
have
we got to be in that mindset.
Yeah.
We, I mean, and you know, it's, if we look at what do we capitalize, what market do we corner? We don't corner the hair market.
Nope.
We don't corner the convenience store market.
Nope.
We don't corner the grocery store market.
Nope.
We don't corner the hotel market.
No.
Corner. We don't even corner the mechanic market.
Nope.
What market can you walk out and say, oh, it's a lot of black folks that do that? The only thing you can say about us is it's a lot of black folk in Michigan. There's a lot of black folk in Atlanta. There's a lot of black folk in L.A. You can say where we are, there's a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but you can't give a market that we corner. Now, that same, all those places that I named, there's a lot of black folk. Who corner those business markets? It's not black people. Now, is that a shame or what?
That's
in Atlanta, if we're the majority, we should be cornering the market in something.
Mm-hmm.
If we're the majority of L.A., shouldn't we be cornering the market in some sense, the majority of our people are there?
No.
But
we don't
corner any markets in anything. We had the hair care business. We let it go. I mean, we basically let them just take it from us. They didn't rip it. They didn't take it from us. They slipped it from us, and our eyes were wide open.
Yep. Yep.
Had it. It was there. That's one market we did corner at one time. But not anymore.
It's a billion-dollar business?
We thought we had. We should be cornering the music industry. That
yeah, we're not doing that. We're not doing that either.
Movies.
Nope.
I mean, if anybody out there could name one market that we corner.
Yeah. Please call in 347-677-1749. If you guys can tell us what market the African-American population has actually marketed, I mean, who actually cornered it, please call 347-677-1749.
And what we're saying is a market that entrepreneurship, don't give me a market that we cornered that we've been forced into it.
What about the sports? What about sports?
Sports, I mean... I think we got a few owners of teams now, but we haven't cornered
it. Yeah, we got more than we used to.
We haven't cornered the market,
to.
And we're the majority of those making the money in basketball.
Yeah, basketball and football.
We're the majority of football also.
Yeah.
And we have a great number in baseball. You even got some black hockey players now.
Yeah, we used to didn't have that.
Of course, we know we're in golf, but... We're talking about football and basketball. We got the majority of players, but we don't corner the market because we may corner the market as far as working there, but guess what? We still got a boss. So I'd like to know what markets that anybody can say that we corner as black people. But I can name all these black cities. We corner the market in population, but when it comes to making money, they own everything and we consume it. We need to get tired of being consumers. We got to start being producers. We got a nation to raise for our children. Are they going to be in the same fix that we're in, scratching and begging and asking for help because they don't even know anything about doing for self? They're going to say, that's going to be, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Brushing my teeth? But they don't know what doing for self means because it hasn't been taught to them. At all.
And you know, too, another thing, going back to wages, when we want to talk about money, making money, and we're talking about the wages. Now, you know they're trying to fight to raise the wages, the minimum wage again, because they're saying it's $7.25 an hour is not enough. People cannot live off of $7.25 an hour. Now, I want to see if Congress is going to actually pass it. I don't know what the new amount is going to be. I didn't look and see what that was.
I don't see them passing it.
and I see about a quarter more, you can't live off of it. Like you said, we're a big consumer. We wouldn't be able to afford it. I mean, it's crazy.
A lot of them are doing now. They're hiring part-time.
Yes.
They're doing contract labor.
Yes.
They're doing everything they can to cut back on the workforce. And I get so tired of these so-called patriots are taking jobs out of the states. But it's supposed to be so patriotic. I think it's a bunch of crock.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's said that they are because they own a business.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you own a business, if your business is not for the well-being of the community in which it's in, it's only for profit, it doesn't mean you're doing anything great for the community.
Yeah.
You just abide by the rules.
Yep.
And if they would change, you would dog them out right here in their face. That's the way I see it.
Yep. You're right.
It's coming to a point, Salida, that we got to do something.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get these religious institutions, these civic and social organizations.
That take care of their own.
Right. These professionals and non-professionals. You know,
yeah.
We got the rich, the poor. In other words, I'm speaking of everybody in our community going to have to come together. Those who have money who do this, when I say do it, stick their chest out and look down upon, going to have to stop it. Because in the end, when we lose, they lose too. You know, if you can't, if the whole community's not with you, you don't win. There's no good being at the top by yourself.
That's right.
Not in my book. I need to carry somebody along with me so I can have somebody that looks like me to be in the same club as me.
I don't want them in the same club. I want to be exclusive.
Yeah, I don't want to be up there by myself. It's no fun to me being in a quiet room by myself. And I don't want to be up there with other folks that don't look like me. Not me. Some do. But that's called self-hate to me. And this whole thing boils down to self-hate. I'm not good enough to run a business. I'm not good enough to be able to do it on my own. Oh, I did such a well job running it for Charlie, Mr. Charlie, while he was in the Bahamas, while he was in the Cayman Islands, while he was over in Europe, you know, while he was on safari, you know, while he was traveling through Costa Rica and all the other nice exotic places. I was doing okay running his business, but now that I need to run my own, but you're doing the same thing, I don't know if I'm qualified. And some of us have that mentality.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to think, too, some of us don't want to be, don't want to even take on the positions as supervisors. Some of us don't want to be managed. That's too much of a headache. Life is a challenge, period. You're going to be challenged some kind of way. I just want to do my job and go home every day. I don't want to have to deal with nothing else. You have that choice, but you'll never learn. That job's not guaranteed. And one thing about it, you can hold up under your hat is experience. If you can't do nothing else, you have experience in something.
Right.
You know. I'm sorry, and if somebody could call in 347-677-1749 to tell me that we're wrong with what we're saying as far as encouraging people to be their own boss and getting people out the slump of thinking that they have to work for somebody else. You don't have to work for somebody else. You don't. There's no excuse. You don't have to work for nobody else. You can work for yourself.
Right. That number again is 347-677-1749. And you're right. I would just love to get somebody that not only may agree with us and have an outlook on why or maybe the personal experience of working for yourself, used to work for someone, work for yourself, mm-hmm. or that came from a parent that worked for themselves, mm-hmm. and they did the same thing. You know, I love to hear those stories where they've been taught because their parents did it, and they learned to rely on self and not rely on somebody else. You know.
Well, you take your family, and we've talked about this before. your family. Come on. I mean, you're a humble man. You're a modest man. But you got to look at your family. Look where your family came from. Your family had their own business for years.
Yeah.
Okay?
And it's true. And neither one of my parents came from a business background as far as their family. They didn't have businesses. They basically had a dream.
Yeah.
I think my dad told me he learned that when he's a military that he didn't like working for other people. He didn't like taking orders. He had a job, but his ultimate goal was eventually that I'm getting out of this job, I'm going to do something for myself. He didn't know what he was going to do. Looking and searching, trying to find his nick, tried out a few things, wasn't what he wanted. Finally, one day, he found his niche. And he and my mom left government jobs. Federal government jobs to go on their own because they wanted to be their own boss and, you know, were quite successful at it. And still today, both self-employed, not doing the same thing, but still self-employed. You know, bled off to my sister, bled off to myself, you know, and which I'm trying and she's trying basically to get out, you know, our children do the same thing, you know.
Exactly.
It has to go so it can be just like, you know, we hear so much about generational things. Oh, his daddy did drugs and he did drugs. He went to prison and his dad went to prison. He went to prison and his grandpa went to prison. Well, we would need to reverse that to where, you know, his mama owned a business and his grandparents owned a business for his mom. Now he owns a business. That's the kind of thing that we need to push, that there all are generations of being self-employed.
That they could take
care of their family, that they could build their home, that they could pay any of their bills and things like that because of their upbringing. And that's what life is from, upbringing. And those who parents didn't do it, it's nothing to look down upon. If your parents didn't do it, it's just now, but my grandparents didn't do it. But guess what? Because of what those parents instilled in my parents, it gave them the will to want to do it. So it started.
Yeah.
They didn't just come up and say, you know what, I want to do it. It was something instilled in them through their parents. And they would just happen to be the generation to kick it off. So it started from the grandparents from instilling in them, and it went to them to actually put it into action and pass it on. So there's a lot of families that have that, but we need more, though. We have to have it because I am a firm believer that we're going to have our own nation. Just like Black Wall Street, they had everything they needed. We're going to need to have our hospitals, schools. And school, that's our key to civilization, for our civilization to prosper. Our own police.
Education.
Our own police department. You know, that's not saying you won't have crime, but you will have people that like you that can understand and want to understand us better than somebody slamming us against the car. You know, all this makes a difference. Folks, making a difference is, believe it or not, when people think you have something, whether you have it or not, when they think you have something, they respect you more.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, they should respect you irregardless. But unfortunately, that's not the way this wicked world is set up.
Yep.
This wicked world is set up on material and what they think they know about you, so that, which makes it so sad, but I'm just calling it the way it is. You can call shots. You can pull things into help things to happen.
Make those power plays.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, you can go before the council and stand up and they look, because they know you're well respected within the community and they'd rather not see you coming. You can go, you know, in front of some of these heads and talk to them just like they want to talk to you, you know. You know, they not even realize anything about you then. You are a learned person, what the word they used to use, learned. I mean, you've been there. You've been studying folks. You've been picking up on things here and there. And it's so essential. And you take that spirit you have, you know, and you put it into into action. You were talking about going back to the lady and the cookies.
Yeah.
So, Lita, probably more than anything, we in Louisiana here know there's been so many companies that started out of a kitchen.
Yeah.
Concocting, I use the word because in Louisiana, that's what they do, they concoct stuff. Concocting things and coming up with stuff, and people like it.
Yeah.
We can make a joke. They got a thing, a seasoning called Slap Your Mama.
Yeah.
And the stuff sells.
Yeah.
They got, people got sugar. What they call that candy that people make in the kitchen, Felicia? I can't call the name of it.
Pecan candy.
Pecan candy. I got a friend of mine, people all over across the water. It's all his pecan candy. He makes it right there in his kitchen, right there in Alexandria. He got a nickname called the Candy Man.
Mm-hmm.
My sister and her husband, when they come here from Texas, they have a little gathering, and they ask me that I invite him. Really, they want to invite him because they want his candy. His candy is so good, they like it. I stay away from it. I can't eat it because I'm saying, but the thing it is that people like stuff, and people, he already has, this guy, the only guy I know can walk in Walmart, he comes in there with his candy, and people see him, and they stop him. I'm not exaggerating. He walking down the aisle shopping, hey, you got any candy? Yeah, I got some. He keeps it on him.
No matter where he goes.
I'm serious. But he took something that he learned to do, and he turned it into a business.
Yeah.
He's telling me how he made so much money. He said he went to a ball game. He said, we need to pay some bills. The money was low. Well, I said, we can't afford to go to a ball game. He said, yes, we can. He was out of town. He said he bought a ticket and put some gas in the car. He made up a couple of batches of candy. He said, man, you're not supposed to carry anything in there. He said, I loaded up my sleeves with candy. I had my big jacket on. After I sold one, I sold out. He said, Brian, when I come home, he said, I had $250 laid on tape for my wife. She said, where you get that from? He told him what he did when he ran out. He told the guy he forgot his medicine outside. He went and loaded his sleeves back up with candy again.
Man.
That's called being an entrepreneur. He has his labels and everything on him.
Yeah.
You do what you got to do to survive.
Yeah.
This man in one night at the ball game made $250 off selling his candy. So my point is, he did it. You can do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be
people.
Candy. It could be, it could be anything. But food is something. If you got a knack at it, I'm telling you. People say, well, how do I get out in the arena? Man, you got beauty shops, you got barbershops, put your name on it. First, just go out and let them sample it.
Yeah.
They're going to put your information on it. They're going to be calling you for it. There's so many things that you can do, but you got to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You have to go at it. If you don't go at it, it's not going to just come to you. You got to be willing to build, to burn a little midnight oil.
No, I'd rather stand in the line for hours at a time, trying to go for the, they got these manufacturers, got two jobs, and you got 20,000 people applying for these two jobs. They're going to stand in line. They're going to do the whole 9 yards, and there's no way in hell that you're going to get that job. There's no way in hell because you got people more outskilled than you. They got more experience than you, and you know that.
Right.
You got people standing in line to work at McDonald's. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You cannot tell me there's no skill that you don't have that you cannot set up some type of business and make money off of. You can't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
There's not. I can't. Not us as African Americans. If nothing else, we are creative people.
Well, lady, you can go to a magazine store, something like Books A Million or some of the others. They have magazines on businesses. If you don't have, I have no earthly idea what I might want to do. You can go pick up those magazines. I don't know the name of them, but you can tell they have some kind of business name on them. And they have literally companies in there and people talking about what they're doing to make money.
Yeah. They're
so
called,
look at those magazines.
Business opportunities.
Hey, I can't afford a magazine. You can go online.
Yeah.
They have so many things. I was just looking at eBay Classified, ebayclassified.com. Free posting, and it's people selling stuff from, oh, God, they got hundreds of categories.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from computers to birds to services to watches to cars to bicycles. Mm-hmm. To, I mean, you name it, they got it. Somebody's trying to sell it.
Yeah.
Even, guess, check this out. I was thumbing through and I found people selling a used bird cage.
Mm-hmm.
We know what birds do in a cage.
Yeah.
And they were selling it. And guess what? I went looking for it today. It is sold. But what my point is that people buy stuff. We
just
to have in our mind, not only buying, because you can provide a service.
Yeah. Yep.
People, you know, how many people you know, you go to neighborhoods, they don't like washing windows.
Yeah, they don't like washing their own windows.
I know one guy, he bought him a pressure washer from Lowe's. You know what he do with that pressure washer? You got the kind you put the
wash
soap
houses
in the unit, and then you turn your pressure washer on. He clean houses, brick houses, exterior of the houses.
Yeah.
He uses the homeowner's water. He's his solution. And he sprays the house down with the solution. Then he turns around and sprays clear water on it and clean it. And he charges for it.
Yeah.
I mean, so... Man, I've seen people take so much stuff and take it and make money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lawnmower. You know, they make money off of it.
Yeah, we have a lot of lawnmowers. What's the names here? Companies here.
Yeah, yeah.
They drive around with their big trailers.
Well, I'm not good at cutting grass. Okay, well, find out what you're good at.
Yeah.
Somebody is good in something.
Yeah, somebody, there's always somebody good
always
at
something.
You cannot go through life not knowing how to do something real good. No, I can't believe that.
Babysitting.
And when you, yeah.
Some people work
yeah.
at night and have trouble finding overnight babysitters.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things that you could do as you know, all things required of babysitting, you got to be responsible.
Yep. You're right.
You know, but my point is that there's always something that we could be looking at.
Yeah.
Like I took my son out today. And time to time, take your children out. When I conduct business, I try a lot of times to have my children there. As they grew up, they always with me. I want them to be exposed to what I do and how we do it, and get an idea. Mm-hmm. But when they get out into the world, guess what? I was at a store one day, Salita,
mm-hmm.
and this is going into responsibility, teaching children to come up. And I told my son, I said, I want you to go inside, tell them this, which I told him what to do. I said, I want you to handle it. He one day, he said, Dad, I never did that by myself. I said, I know. How many times have you watched me do it? Yeah. I said, okay, go in and do like I do. He came out. I said, did you do it? Yes, sir. Oh, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
That means he got confidence. I could have went in with him, but I know he mm-hmm. had seen me do it so many times. He could do it. He just didn't have the confidence to do it. But when his back was against the wall, he did it.
Yeah.
So same thing when it comes to business. You same thing my parents did is in business is a lot of times they always kept us around. Always
mm-hmm.
kept us around. Everything, I used to do payroll, I used to do tax deduction, I used to deliver, I used to ship, I used to receive, I used to wipe the shelves, I used to mop the floors, you know, I used to sweep off the driveway. I mean, you name it, I used to change the light bulb, clean the bathroom, you know, train the new employees, whatever you name it, and sometime or another, I did it. That means
mm-hmm.
basically you know how to do everything that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
We pass that on to our children, and we'll start a generation of entrepreneurs and stop this
mm-hmm.
cycle of begging for a job. We got the highest unemployment rate of everybody.
Yes, yep, we sure do.
Outside of Native Americans and white folks, we've been here longer than anybody else.
Yep.
But in some cases, we were here longer than both of them. Because some of us were here before they got here. But the point of it is that with us being here, we still, out of everybody, all the immigrants coming to this country, we still have the highest unemployment rate bigger than anybody else. Now, something's wrong with that picture.
Yep, you're right. It is something wrong with that picture. And can we change it? Can we take the time out to change that?
I don't think for the most part that we are, but we're going to have to. I think, you know, in a sense, some of us are going to be forced to. In some sense, we are going to have some that are going to say, you know what, I got to do something for my young ones. I don't want them to struggle like me. I don't want them to go through what I went through. But I got to set them up so they can be better. And but what setting up people is not setting them up to go get a job. And the caller was right. Job means just over broke.
Yeah, he's right.
I mean, that's what it means, because most people that got a job, just over broke means basically that you run from one paycheck to another. Most people that have jobs, by the time they get their check, if they miss another one, they broke. That's what just over broke means. Most people don't even know what a paradigm shift is. And when a paradigm shift, that's something that makes a change, and you need to be there to catch it, because if you're not there in that shift, and you're going to miss it.
Yep.
It's not going to stay the same. You know, and Salida, we have to learn to be adaptable.
You know, we have a problem with that.
You know, one of the most adaptable.
We have a problem with flexible, too.
Yeah, you know, one of the most adaptable creatures out there is the shark. You could take a baby shark, put it into a 50-gallon tank. Now, this is a shark that can reach thousands of pounds, right? And that shark, unlike other animals, will only grow to its environment. And I say that to say that you can have a 10-year-old shark in a 50-gallon tank, and he won't outgrow the tank. Whereas you put any other animal in there, and fish or mammal, they'll outgrow it. They have adapted to the environment in which they're in. Their body has conditioned to that environment. Well, what happens to us, that happens to it in a negative sense. Well, we adapt to the environment we've been put in, and we don't go back to our natural state. So what we do is we lose it. We've been put in an aquarium. We stay within the confines of the aquarium. We don't never come out.
Yeah.
Whereas you put
I ain't moving. I'm fine.
Yeah,
my family's fine.
We put me here.
We good off of $7.25 an hour. I can work 4 jobs. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And no time for family. Always away from home.
No family time. Yep.
Raise the children because we're trying to make enough money to make ends meet.
Yep.
They
never
get in trouble because they have no guidance.
Nope.
Then I got
I'm at work
on them, trying to get them out of trouble, money I don't have. So the little bit that I did made, I'm now spending it back out because I got to keep my baby out of jail. So what are you accomplishing when you can't keep it nowhere because you're spending all the little money out that you do have, if you can afford to do it? As long as I don't go out there and get in debt behind things that look pretty and shiny. We got to wake up.
We got to. We ain't got no other choice. We got to wake up. We got to make things happen.
We know our unemployment rate is actually worse than what they're reporting on paper.
Yeah. Yep.
We definitely know that.
Because they probably just going by the stats that are being turned into them by the Labor Department. That's where those come from. That's not talking about the people who literally stopped looking for jobs. They're no longer included. Because there's
talk about that
a whole
at all.
Bunch of us. Yeah, a whole bunch of us that just stopped looking. I don't know how they're surviving. I don't know if they started another job. Did they create their own job or something? I don't know, because there's no stats saying what they're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's a bad situation, and it's a scary situation because, like I said before, when you're not working and you're not doing something productive, you're going to be doing something destructive, excuse me. When
right.
you're not being productive, you're doing something destructive. So because we're doing that, I tell you what we are doing, we're continuing to bring in more police. We're continuing to keep correction officers working all the time. We're keeping all the people that need to be. Judges don't never have to worry about nothing. Sheriff's
right.
departments don't have to worry about nothing. Because guess what? We keep on fulfilling their dream and keep pushing people in there.
Right. Exactly right.
I mean, where do we stop? Where do we get grasp the concept that this is not how we're supposed to live? You know, where do we grasp that? You know, you think about the situation in Colorado when the guy, you know, went crazy and shot those innocent people. Now, guess what he was upset about? Do everybody realize what he was upset about? Not being able to work a job that he had experience in. It frustrated him to the point where he did that. He was at McDonald's. This is a guy who was, I think they said he was almost like a neuroscientist. Because guess what? Not only was it a job for us, it wasn't a job for him. He wound up at McDonald's.
Wow.
That's terrible. That is terrible. So what do? We go back to teaching. We go back to training. And we go back from when they're little. I was watching this thing because since white kids are the only kids that are coming out with these, you know, little things that they do and get all the recognition, a tree fell on this little boy's next-door neighbor's house. And they didn't have enough money to pay for the deductible to get it fixed. Well, he wound up opening up a lemonade stand. I ain't seen no black kids in the neighborhood, so it had to be all white. It had to be a white neighborhood. He opened up a lemonade stand. All she needed was $500. He raised $850 for her. And all she needed was a $500 deductible. And he said, I did it. This is what a neighbor is supposed to do. I did it because when my sister died, she got into a car accident. Somebody hit her. She was on a bike. And she was there for her, for the family. She didn't have to cook. The mother didn't have to cook. She said she didn't have to do nothing. She said the lady literally did everything for her.
Huh.
So I say this to say, if he was smart enough, as a little kid, he was only 8 years old, what the hell wrong with us?
Right.
Now, he raised $850 selling lemonade. What the hell wrong with us?
We are getting so complacent. We've gotten lazy to a point we didn't learn what our foreparents knew. There's so many things that we just don't take advantage of that they know and have the foresight. And then once they're gone, I should have learned that. You know, and sometimes we think it's just simple stuff. But those simple things can carry you a long way.
Yeah, they can if you do it right. And don't just stay to one task. Don't just learn one skill. Learn several. You
right.
know? Learn several ways of doing that one skill. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know any other skill, learn several ways to do that one skill. Nothing wrong with that. You know? Stop worrying about what other people think about you and take care of your family. You know?
Right.
Do it as a team.
We are scared that people are going to say that we are hating.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you just do like everybody else? Somebody always doing that. Why do you have to be different? We're so scared what other people are going to say. We forego our own family for it. And instead of making them richer.
Yep.
If we try to be
right.
If we try to be successful, some people call it hate.
Mm-hmm.
But when they do it, it's called doing for self, entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
But we have to learn to not worry about what other people think. We have to learn to be in the best interest of our own people and our own family.
Yeah. You're right. You are so right. Well, I was expecting some calls tonight. We got a couple of them. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, but I think that I think the information.
Go ahead.
I just think the information is something that was much needed. We said that because so many times our community is so far behind in so many things.
Yeah, it's
we
sad.
Lack things. But a lot of things that we lack because we don't have the knowledge of what should be.
Yeah. Yep.
We think it's normal for to walk in a gas station and then not be known for or owned by any of us. I mean, by the Salida, we know Alexandria, Louisiana, I can speak on that because we live in the area, has 40, by itself, without any surrounding town, I think about 47,000 black people.
Mm-hmm.
47,000. Now, I can speak on one business that should have multitudes of. I can say there's one black newspaper. You say, okay, that's fine, because in some cities, there's only one white newspaper. But let's look at a gas station. Out of all of the gas stations in Alexandria, there's only one black-owned gas station.
Uh-huh.
Now, I guarantee you there's been plenty of folks that have ran gas stations and managed gas stations in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Plenty of them. There's something wrong with that particular picture. And as far as I would say Bonafide storefront, but I think they are about we have 47,000. We have probably more black churches than other average cities. I may be mistaken, but we have a lot of them. I know it's well over a couple of hundred. I'm well over that.
Mm-hmm.
But our florist shops, which we know we patronize quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't grown any. When I say they hadn't grown any, I mean when you bombard them with business, they have to get bigger and hire more people.
Yeah.
They haven't grown any because we go use everybody else's floors facility.
Mm-hmm.
You use those type things. If you look at our black-owned insurance company,
yeah, how many we have of those?
To my knowledge, we have, when I say black-owned, I'm speaking of independent, not necessarily a all-state or state farm or something like that. I'm talking about independently black-owned. I think Alexandria has maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
Three that I can name. I may be wrong, and we do have a few. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong. If we add in the other big boys, the big franchises, it may be, its number goes up. But those are non-franchise, maybe three, could be a little more. But we'll still, in that case, we'll go run into the others to go buy our insurance through.
Yeah, we'll put our money in their stores. We won't put it back in the community. Because you know what? They're not putting no money in our communities. That's for doggone sure. They're not bringing nothing to put in the black community.
They, I mean, and in our area, it's so bad. Unlike some of the other big cities, it's the racism is so thick you could cut it with a knife that they don't even want to put businesses in our community to make money. They want you to travel out your community to come to their community.
Yeah.
And they still make money. And then now, I guarantee you, I'm going to give you a prime example and how our people work, and it sometimes it just burns me up when it comes to being an entrepreneur. We had an entrepreneur in Alexandria that opened up a store in a predominantly black part of town. No one else in the area had a store like it where he sold things that were lower-end things that wouldn't cost as much, some similar to like your Family Dollar Family Dollar and Dollar General sales, right? Well,
yeah.
Family Dollar, Dollar General, one of them, got wind of it and came and set up camp right across. Nobody came before now. Now, this is a place that's been here for years and years, one of the oldest out of town.
Dallas, yep, Dollar Palace.
And nobody else was there. They decided to set up across the street.
Mm-hmm.
The man ended up having to move to another city, his business, because they were killing him. Because our people were flocking across the street.
Went right across the street.
They had. Everybody was so grateful when we went down to tell me how good his price was, things like that. But as soon as the franchise came in, went direct across the street from him, he had to move or he was going to shut the door.
And that's sad. That's a perfect example of how we do each other. When it do comes to entrepreneurship and when it do comes to jobs. Now, I'm quite sure he had a couple of people hired in there from that neighborhood.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure.
Okay, so that put them out of job.
Right. And if you go in these other stores right in our neighborhood, they have white managers right there in the middle of the black neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, my thing is we've got to wake up because you're right, we're heading. I mean, I'm not saying it's doom and gloom, but we're not heading in the right direction. Because I'm going to say this, they're building more prisons. What they're doing, they're building more prisons. They're building more prisons.
They're not only building them for black men, now they're building them for black women.
You're right. You're right. They're building for both of us, yep.
If we make up our mind that we're going to do better and make things right,
exactly.
We're going to keep having trouble. We're going to keep having to we're going to keep having to work for things. I mean, work more than what we have to because we're not educating our children. Mm-hmm. You may have some out there that might say, well, you know, I just don't know how to do it. Well, I guarantee you get with someone.
Yeah.
Go outside of
it's
the box. Yeah, go outside of your box. And before you just choose somebody to listen to the way they talk, you got to be a listen and be a judgment of character. A judgment of somebody that listens to the way they talk and find out if that's what, if that's what you want or what you want to do. But if you don't do something, it's going to be too late and you're going to lose out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
right.
So many people that are turning their backs on their own community in the end, people are going to get fed up and they're going to end up killing them. Those who turn their backs on them. So that's now to do it right.
You're right.
Definitely for sure. I don't know. So it's something that we really need to work on. I mean, we need to work bad on and quick.
Yeah.
It can be turned around. Definitely can turn around. I have faith.
I
have faith that it's going to come together. But in coming together, we have to make sure that pass it on. It's got to be passed on.
Yep.
What good is one generation if we don't bring the information to the next?
That's right. Well, Mr. Brian, we're running out of time.
Okay, that's time to pass by quick.
I
want to
thank you. That was a good 2 hours. Well, I want to say thank you for all the listeners that listened. Thank you for the callers that called in. And just be prepared for next Saturday, hopefully. And you guys have a great night. Good night, my co-host.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.